This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me are Joyce Goh and Kusu Chong with the top business stories of the day. But before we get into that, just a quick reminder that after the 8 o'clock bulletin, we have the Breakfast Grill. And our guest this morning is Professor Ian Golden. He's founding director of the Oxford Martin School. And the Oxford Martin School was established to pioneer research in critical global challenges, including climate change and inequality. And Melissa Idris is going to be speaking to him.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be lots of issues, too many issues, in fact. She's going to be spot for choice to talk to the good professor.
But yeah. On an interesting note, President Nelson Mandela made Ian Golden, our guest, his economic advisor.
Yeah, Golden also had previously headed the Development Bank of South Africa. And, you know, given what Malaysia is going through right now, transition of government for the first time in 60 years, it'll be interesting to hear his take and see, you know, if there are any lessons we can learn from South Africa's period of transition.
Okay. Now, returning to the big business stories of the day, we look at Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway Inc. It said second quarter earnings surge boosted by insurance underwriting and a change to accounting rules.
Yeah, so second quarter earnings attributable to shareholders nearly tripled from a year earlier to $12 billion, or about $7,300 per Class A share. Of course, you can't buy Class B shares. There is a dual class structure for Berkshire Hathaway stock, and a normal hoi polloi like you and me, Sharad, can only buy Class A.
But you call it Berkshire, so you're clearly higher class than I am.
You're American and I'm not. You see, that's the difference. look, I mean, they own nearly 5% on Apple stocks. So their shareholding alone in that stock. And don't forget, Apple eclipsed the $1 trillion market value mark last week, which is crazy. The first company in the world to be more worth more than $1 trillion. That stock alone is worth $50 billion, right? Which is a good chunk, nearly, in fact, more than 25% of the overall $180 billion stock portfolio.
Well, the top holdings include Wells Fargo as well, on top of Apple. And then there's Bank of America. They also have a stake in Coca-Cola and American Express.
Well, you know, in fact, last week we talked about Apple reaching that $1 trillion mark. We did note there was a Chinese petrochemical company, oil and gas company, that did, in fact, hit $1 trillion, but it fell precipitously after that because of the fall in oil prices. So it reached a trillion on when the barrel was the 140, you know, US dollars. But then it fell quite considerably. So it didn't retain its position. The question is also whether Apple will maintain its $1 trillion market cap.
Yeah. Just one more point to note. Also, the profits in second quarter were boosted by accounting tax rule changes, and I wasn't quite sure because I looked around the internet to see exactly what this meant, and I found it in the Financial Times. Apparently, Berkshire Hathaway has a huge amount of its holdings in fixed income holdings, right, including US and foreign government bonds and municipal debt and corporate and mortgage-backed securities. But they trimmed that holding by $1.2 billion in the quarter, which means that because of these accounting rule changes, they can have huge sways over the way they report earnings and what have you, even though they're not operational gains or losses. So by trimming these holdings, it also means a reduction in the susceptibility of the quarterly reporting to such investment differences.
So Warren Buffett's aura remains strong, does it?
Not as strong as Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is worth more than Warren Buffett by a great quantum, right? So Amazon, that's right. The other way action is.
And, you know, you might have read recently about how his parents put in money in his initial idea. And it because
well,
of
Jeff or?
Yeah, Jeff Bezos. So
Jeff we, Warren. Well,
yeah, Warren had his friends actually invest with him,
yeah.
I think, in the early days. But yeah. With Jeff Bezos, it was his parents who put out a good chunk of money. Helped him on his way.
So a lot of people.
Lesson to all you parents out there. And support your children. Mom, are you listening? Okay, let's move on to Gamuda.
Yeah, Gamuda has about until Friday to revert to the Selangor state government on its 2.55 billion ringgit offer for Splash, potentially bringing an end to the 10-year impasse over Selangor state's water supply. There's a story in the Edge Financial Daily today that states that, you know, Gamuda is likely to accept the offer for Splash. This is according to industry sources. That's what they're citing.
So the shareholders of Splash include Gamuda, which has 40%, Kumpulan Perangsang Selangor were 30%, and a company called Sweets Water Alliance, Senjuan Berhad, a company controlled by the businessman Tan Sri Wan Azmi Wan Hamzah, they own 30% in Splash. And Tan Sri Wan Azmi Wan Hamzah, of course, back in the day, he used to control Land in General, one of the original tycoons that benefited from Malaysia Inc., along with Halim Saad. And, you know, I think the MAS, Tajuddin Ahmad Masih or Tajuddin Ramli. Interesting, because I also want to cite the fact that I think the former Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Najib, saying that's one of the beneficiaries of this whole deal would be a former, would be a Tan Sri with political connections. And I'm wondering whether it's Tan Sri Wan Azmi Wan Hamzah or not.
He said that last week, right?
Former yeah, he did. PM. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, looking at the offer price of 2.55 billion ringgit, that is 39% higher than the last offer for Splash of 1.83 billion ringgit. This was made under former Selangor Menteri Besar Tan Sri Khalid Ibrahim in 2009. But this current offer is still a 28% discount to Splash's net book value of 3.54 billion ringgit as of June 30th this year.
So the former Menteri Besar Tan Sri Khalid Ibrahim has actually made quite a bit of noise following this. He's saying that the government of Selangor is paying 10 times more than it what was offered previously. And then he also went on to say that as a result, that subsidies for water, that partially free water initiative that the Selangor government has had since, well, I think it's about 10 years now, will have to be done away with because they'll need to find money to pay off this huge amount. But does that hold water, this, as it were? Pun intended. Does Khalid's argument hold water?
I'm not sure about the valuation because it's been such a long drawn-out issue. It's been lasting over 10 years and nobody really knows. Well, certainly not I. I don't really know where the truth... It's a bit like the X-Files, right? Somewhere out there, the truth exists. But what I would do want to point out is that basically in Selangor, residents get the first 20 cubic meters of water for free. And in case people don't realize how much the water that is, 20 cubic meters is 20,000 liters of water. For free, right? And I remember back in the day, Tun Dr. Lim Keng Yek, when he was in charge of Ketiak, what he used to call that ministry, right? Ketiak, K-E-T-T-H-A. He was a big joker in those days.
Press conferences with him were really interesting.
And he used to he used to flay people because in Malaysia, water is so abundant. Spit all over them.
That's right.
The water joke
is it
continued.
Showers of blessing, you say that during press conferences?
Malaysians waste water, no question, right? And for Selangor residents to get the first 20,000 litres of water for free, it gives us this false confidence that water will be forever abundant and available. It is not. Water is going to be the next oil of the 21st century. And the sooner we pay market rate... Do you know that in Singapore, right, Singaporeans pay 8 ringgit 20 cents per cubic meter. We pay the equivalent of 57 cents.
In Thailand,
that's 16
it's one
times
ringgit.
More.
Yeah, in Thailand.
16 times more.
Okay, but then there's this issue about how do you reduce the cost of living for, especially the B40? How do you make sense of, that? And if there are projects like, or initiatives like this that subsidize individuals, is it a bad thing? Especially families that would need this. You know, every 20 ringgit, 50 ringgit saved for a family in the B40 is money that could go for other things, right?
Yeah, and Selangor MB Amiruddin Shari has also said that, domestic users will continue to enjoy this full rebate of first 20 cubic meters of water. It will continue. This is what's been reported.
Yeah, though I agree with you, Chuang. I think it's important to stress that the government does not give people the false impression that this is unlimited resource, that in fact, even if it's free, it should not be wasted, I think. Though I think waste comes probably in the form of a lot of leakages in our system that needs upgrading. Now, let's move on to MAHB. Its share price arose some 8% to 9.80 ringgit on Friday from 9.07 ringgit and last Monday, July the 30th. It's the highest level since listing in 1999.
Yeah, so this is interesting because this whole sale, and don't forget, Malaysia Airports, I think, controls 100, well, they own 100% of this airport. And I remember some weeks ago when I spoke to the acting CEO of Malaysia Airports, Raja Azmi, he was also acting CFO. Well, he was a CFO. They've been talking about selling this, and there's been a lot of speculation about this whole issue. with Malaysia Airports for a very long time. And there's basically two catalysts to Malaysia Airports. Right? One, of course, is the potential sale of Istanbul Sabiha Gökçen. The other one is the whole revision of the operating agreement between itself and the government. If both happen, then it's going to be a real plus for the airport operator.
Well, there's a story in the Edge Financial Daily on this. Rumours of MAHB selling a stake in Istanbul, the airport in Istanbul is making its rounds again. That's why they're saying that perhaps that is a reason why the stock has started going up in last week, you know, hitting its highest level since listing in 1999. And former MD Balisham had previously said that MAHB was open to bringing in partners to participate in the Istanbul airport, but he stressed that MAHB would maintain a majority stake. So now with he has left MAHB, so the selling off of the Istanbul airport, the stake there, has caused rumours to resurface again.
Also, very quickly, you know, there's a larger kind of regional story, and that has to do with the anticipated rise in passengers expected for the Asia-Pacific region in the next 2 decades, some 2 billion more. And MHB apparently is thinking about that, their plans to double KLIA's capacity.
Yeah, and they're saying that passenger traffic, they're expecting that to... passenger traffic has gone up 6% this year, and they're expecting that to go up more, even more.
You know, I read with quite a lot of interest Tony Fernandez talking in the newspapers about how he's going to be adding more routes to Indonesia. For example, Raja Ampat, which is a huge diving mecca for people who love to, you know, go on the water. So, you know, if AirAsia adds more routes to Indonesia, to China, to India, for example, it's going to be a huge boost to tourism arrivals in Malaysia. And you've got to imagine, I mean, even at this point in time, AirAsia, it's what, 50% of all airports business for at the current moment. It's going to be even more.
Well, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with The Breakfast Grill. Our guest, Professor Ian Golden, he is the founding director of the Oxford Martin School. He's going to be speaking to Melissa Idris. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.